Willkommen bei Remote Leadership, der zweiten Staffel des Chief of Anything Podcasts von und mit Michael Portz und Christian Kohlhoff. Für alle, die auf Entfernung führen oder arbeiten und dabei noch mehr erreichen wollen.
Hi Lee, fantastic to have you here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Pleasure to meet you. Buongiorno, Cristiano.
Yes, it's in the middle of the day for us. And it's early in the morning for Lee on the Bahamas. Thanks for joining us so early. So Lee Brosencheck, who are you and what do you do?
What a great question. And I don't have a perfect answer, which is
I think
inappropriate for me. So that's part of the joy that is my life. I'm an artist, and I spend my days creating that art so that everyone that I hopefully come into contact with can discover their own inspiration, love, and greatness. Mm-hmm.
And how do you create art? So you're an entrepreneur as well. So
that's right.
How's that connection?
Yeah, there's so many roads that opens for me. So I have my wife and I own a dance studio located in Denver, Colorado, in the United States, and that's a wonderful thing. And we inspire a bunch of classes in ballet and tap and jazz and hip hop and little kids through adults, and that's super duper fun. And I spend quite a bit of my time here in the Bahamas now. We are investors in a great hotel here, which is wonderful. And we're located on the greatest beach in the entire world, which is a very bold statement. And I feel like we back it up all the time, which is good too. I spend a lot of days inspiring other entrepreneurs, other business leaders, by being a CEO coach and creating a bunch of learning. I do some workshops and keynotes for my friend Simon Sinek. I do some just all sorts of, all sorts of great things. And no 2 days ever look alike for me, which is perfect and by design. So that way I never get, sort of bored of the repetition or anything like that, because at any given moment there's something fun, there's something exciting on my desk of things to do. And hopefully that looks like I'm not standing at my desk very much, that I'm out doing something and walking around or talking to different people. And that's really cool. So, that's me. Yeah.
So if I heard you correctly, or if I misunderstood you correctly, you're on the Bahamas for a lifetime of holidays.
I feel like that's the case. Yeah, that's, and I just happen to sprinkle some work in there when as needed.
Ah, speaking of which, so I take it that the work you're doing might be partly on the Bahamas and partly not. So when you hear what this podcast is all about, the words remote leadership, what does it mean to you?
Oh, it's so good, because that's basically what I do. Yeah. It started a lot during, before pandemic happened. Even our general manager at our dance studio came to us and said, "Oh my gosh, I think I have to move. And I've got to move back home to be around family," which was out of Denver and back to the East Coast of the United States. And she said, I'm feeling so horrible that I'm going to leave you and all that sort of thing. And I said, "Well, here's the deal. Like you can move, but that doesn't mean that our relationship is done." Right? Like you can still keep working for us with us because I need you. Like I need you to be part of this team. And she said, I don't think you understand. Like I'm moving across the country and I'm not going to be here. And I'm like, I know, but what's something that's been traditionally a very hands-on, like, no, I need you there and in the office and that sort of thing. Even something as tactile as a dance class, like, I said, no, we can figure this out, because not only do I want to figure that out for you, but I want to figure that out for me too, so that I can go and travel and be anywhere and my wife and I can have this, time together and that sort of thing, and not feel like we have to be in the office all day, every day and sort of chained to that desk. So remote leadership, I'm like, yes, please, I'm in. Let's make sure that we can create that together. so that that way all of us have that freedom in order to, you know, to make that be a reality for everyone.
Yeah. Can I dive into that a little deeper? Because a dance studio is is as offline as it could be.
That's right.
I had this with my coffee bars. Yeah, they were offline. You have to be there, and people come into the studio, into the coffee bar.
Yeah.
And so what shops could you create to be done online or remotely? Well,
I mean, it's so easy to see some of those things, like the accounting and the mm-hmm. you know, all, like, so we've had a remote bookkeeper and accountant for years. And that's just been the way that we sort of operate, you know, like, oh, we've got the central place that everyone's going for the same files and all that sort of stuff and how to collaborate online together. But to just, you know, so even with pandemic, it created some innovation with us, which we always talked about, oh, maybe we should have some remote classes, or maybe we should have videos on demand and stuff like that. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, like, we have to do that. So mm-hmm. it gave us another line of business, quite honestly, because it was something that now all of a sudden it wasn't just our classes weren't geographically based. So we started mm-hmm. to get old students that had moved away were coming back to us and saying, like, hey, we want to still take class. I'm like, great, we can do it online now. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with you know, we had new students that came to us from across the world because they could take class online. And so it was definitely a needed thing for the time of pandemic, but it opened up a lot of different avenues for us to continue on with that. So classes are online now and in person, more in person than online, but at least we have that. We've got some video on demand so that we can continue to do that. And that all happened. I sent out all the video stuff to my friend who lives in Los Angeles and said, I need your help. I need, you know, going through all this video. So, like, that happens online, you know, without ever being in the same place. Our dance recitals, which of course are traditionally in person and things. Well, we had the dancers in person, but we streamed that broadcast to everybody. So all the family and friends from around the world were tuning in to watch the dance performances, and now they're recorded and archived. And so it's so there's lots of functions with even that as such a in-person type business.
Can I ask you a detail about the mechanics of remote online dancing?
Sure.
So, I mean, like, yoga classes, you know, we've had for a while online. And we go online and you're on your mat and I do my yoga class. So that yeah. works. I'm just curious how that works. So, you know, if there's a couple dancing or even one person dancing through the room, how did you solve the challenge of, you know, following with the camera or having a bigger room to capture? Because resolution on these cameras is not as high yet, I take it. So you could zoom in and out and do stuff like that. How'd you deal with that? I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, using the regular technology to kind of solve those problems. So I put in big screens into the dance studio so that we can see, you know, that instructor can see someone, you know, it's not quite life size, right? But it's at least you can zoom in, you can see what that looks like, and putting in good cameras so that people can see it. It's not just using the camera that comes with your laptop or any of that sort of thing. Like, let's use bigger, better cameras so that it's a good experience. It's also been fun, and we deal with a lot of young kids and adults that are dancing and dancing from home and things too. And so their space is equally tough to sort of set up and make sure that they can you know, be seen on camera, that they have enough room to, you know, you're not gonna take out the coffee table if you're trying to jump across the floor or something like that, right? Like, and it's been fun because we get to see sort of into your home, and now, you know, like, when your dog decides that it's time to dance too, that's pretty fun, you know, to be, everybody gets into the action. So it actually introduced a lot of like siblings and things like that to dance class too, because a lot of times they're sitting there and in the background, and all of a sudden, you know, you notice that there's two or three kids dancing on screen instead of just one. So it's pretty neat.
It's amazing how the world has moved. Huh? I mean, Christian and I, we're in a business where just a year and a half ago, people thought that, you know, leadership development, education of managers and team leads was not possible to do online. in a classroom-like scenario, and that you had to travel somewhere and be in a group and have physical contact and all of that, which, of course, is wonderful.
Yeah.
And 1.5 years down the road with the pandemic, now it all is working, and some of it is working better than before, to be honest. What were, you know, some experiences that you have made and you can share with all of us here? What has been working really well for you that 1.5 years ago maybe you didn't even know of? What's the cool stuff in remote?
Well, it's been through all the leadership coaching and things like that that I do, whether that's groups or individuals. Before pandemic, I was jumping on an airplane almost every night to go to the next city, to do the next thing, to be at the next event. And that essentially went away overnight. Now, it took that pandemic to make that be the case. But all of a sudden, you know, it forced our hand to go to virtual because there wasn't another option. And now I like it so much that, you know, why go back to that old way, right? If I could be in the Bahamas here and just go for a beach walk in between my sessions and, you know, hang out at the pool and stuff like that, like, that seems like more fun than being trapped in an airport and, you know, trying to figure out because my flight got canceled and how to jump into the next Uber or any of that sort of stuff. Like, I'm in. Like, so, and using, again, a mixture of that in-person and remote things, it's pretty awesome. So when I'm getting together with a group, I say, cool, you've got a big screen in your office and you're going to meet together in person. Put me up on the big screen. I can be larger than life all of a sudden. You can see my hair in great detail, right? I'm using the 4K camera. I've got the extra microphones. Like, that's it. Like, I'm creating the conditions in order for that to happen. And again, 1.5 years ago, I would have said no way. And none of my customers would have accepted that. They would have been like, are you crazy? Like, you have to be here with us. And I've had a couple of customers and repeat customers and things that say, no, we want you in the room. And then I describe the mechanics of it. I'm like, cool. So you're going to pay me to now fly across the world to go to this thing. It's going to be a red eye flight for me. And then I get up and then it's a pain, you know, you're meeting 2 hours away from the airport. Now I got to drive from there to there. And what's going to happen is we're going to talk for 30 minutes. And then I'm going to say, cool, let's do some exercise. And then I'm going to make you go walk away for 20 minutes. And what am I going to do? I'm going to be sitting here. I'm not really, but checking my email, right? Like, for lack of a better term, like, I've got downtime. I can't work with every breakout group all at the same time. So I'm choosing or roaming in between those rooms of things. And so I'm not working with everybody at the exact same moment. So isn't it better if you just come back to the camera if you need something and ask that question there? So I think it works really great.
Maybe you have a piece of advice for me. I'm in exactly the same situation. I used to be traveling all the time, meeting clients, having workshops, doing coachings. Now I've seen the magic of how remote collaboration can work. And I can see Christian smiling because we do this together all the time. And it just clicks. It's faster. It's more efficient. And I dare say the results are better too, actually. And now how do I tell my clients who now start to ask me again to come in person, that remote is better and works better. Any advice? How do I convince them?
Or any experience in your side?
Well, this was a lead-on question.
That's right. Yeah, Christian knows me that I don't give advice. So there you go. That's the bottom line. Yeah, I'll share my experience, but it's up to you.
Nice catch.
Yeah. Thanks. It's like I've been trained in that once before. For me, what I've been doing is really kind of talking to the client and saying, hey, you know, like, let's talk about the logistics of this. Then let's talk about the price tag, because you're seem to be paying out, you know, for the travel and all that sort of stuff. And let's look at the hours that we could increase how much time I'm spending with you compared to having this be something that's not. And usually just kind of looking at that value proposition is enough for them to go, you're in. And what's funny is that for a long time, people would try to negotiate my fee. And I try to be very flat about my pricing. I'm like, I'm not trying to, you know, give somebody a better deal than the other day. Like, this is kind of what this cost, you know, like there's no room to kind of wiggle in there or anything like that. That's not really fair to anybody else either if I give you a better deal than tomorrow's client or anything like that. And so, but people are always always seem to like try to negotiate my fee, but the travel part, they're like, oh, it's just the travel. And I'm like, what, like, why are you trying to nickel and dime me for, you know, $50 or something like that, but you're okay with spending $1,000 on a plane ticket or something, you know, like that just, it doesn't, it didn't seem right either ever in my mind that that could be the case. And so the idea that we can just eliminate that whole line item from your budget, like seems better. Seems
so
better.
Pay less and get more time. Nice. That's and less hassle. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I would like to go back to the leading yourself part of the story you told me, because you said pre-pandemic, you already thought about what you can do to lead remotely. And so what was your journey in changing yourself and changing the beliefs you have about yourself and your life that led you to the life you're living now? So you're living part-time, a holiday in the Bahamas. Sometimes right. You go to Denver. The other time you're around in the world. So
yeah.
How did you change that and what did help?
It's, you know, it was a conversation that I had with another entrepreneur, you know, years ago, and we were talking, and they were in a weird situation where they had sold their home and it sold very quickly. And then they couldn't buy another house. And there was a whole list of reasons why, you know, something, they had something lined up and that fell through. And then they're going to go for another thing and that fell through. And they ended up living in an Airbnb for a couple of months. And they kept switching Airbnbs that they were living in like every month or 6 weeks or something like that. And they said, how cool is this that we get to experience a different part of the city? And there's these restaurants that we didn't know about before because it's now they're in the neighborhood. And and I thought, that's really kind of neat. And I started to do the math and I'm looking at my wife and I said, do you realize it costs us like $235 a night to live in our house? Between a mortgage and the, you know, the electricity and the gardener and the, you know, like all that stuff, like we could live really well at a hotel for $250 a night. Like that seems like a reasonable thing. And she said, yeah, I don't want to live in a hotel. And I said, yeah, but like, you kind of get the point, you know, like we could be anywhere. And why are we tied to this one location, you know, necessarily? And so that sort of started this journey for me to say, okay, cool. Like, what can I do that isn't necessarily possible today? Or what, you know, why not create this vacation lifestyle that I've always wanted to live? So yeah, I can be here. I can be anywhere. I can figure out where I want to go next. And the it's a choice basically each and every day. And that led to, I mean, some pretty cool trips that my wife and I took together. And one day, this was, I'll tell you, it was December 14th, because it was about 36 hours before my birthday, which was December 16th. And my wife said, what do you want to do for your birthday? Like, where do you want to go for dinner? Which would be our, you know, sort of traditional thing, of course. And I said, I'd like to have a dinner date with you. And I'd like that to be on an international flight. And she goes, where are we going? And I said, I don't know. Let's find whatever we can find is the cheapest plane ticket that gets us somewhere where we can have, you know, and my requirement is, from traveling all those miles and stuff, that my requirement is I have to be able to pay an economy ticket and use some upgrades to get up to first class. And she goes, all right, I'm in. And so we left like 36 hours later. The cheapest flight that I knew I could use upgrades on was going to Bangkok. And so we jumped on a plane to Thailand and we had zero reservations, but we knew that we needed to be back for the dance studio to open again 3 weeks later. And so we went with no reservations anywhere other than a one-way plane ticket to Asia. And so off we went. And every day we looked at each other and said, what do you want to do tomorrow?
And fantastic.
Sure enough, we hopped a flight. We were in Cambodia shortly. We spent a couple of nights in a couple of different cities there. We went to an island because we have an obsession with beaches. And so like there. So, I mean, every day was just is just kind of a different adventure. And that's again, that's what I like. I don't want 2 days to kind of look the same. That's just the reality that I want to create.
I want to go to the airport now. I'm going to go home, get my wife, and off. Thank you for the inspiration.
You bet.
Awesome.
You bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you go with the flow, not only on this vacation in Asia, but every day. So how do you decide you have to go, in parentheses, to Denver? So you have a business there.
We have a business there. So it is definitely a home base sort of thing. But earlier this year during pandemic here, we sold our house that we had lived in for 19 years. Got rid of all the stuff that was in the basement, which was a lot of stuff, actually, and moved to an apartment, which my wife was like, oh, my gosh, like, that's I don't know. Can we do this? Can we downsize this? Can we get this done? And I'm like, I don't know. When we basically moved to the Bahamas, which was at the beginning of pandemic, because if I have to do this remote stuff, I've got a steady internet connection. Why not be here than anywhere else? Okay. And we had a condo here. So why not be here? And so sure enough, like I came, we brought our very old senior dog, who's now retired and living his best life ever in the Bahamas here. And so, but he requires a lot of care. And so one of us has to be here with the dog at all times. So my wife, I mean, she's the one that packed up the entire house and moved to an apartment. And actually, I've never been in the apartment because I've been here with the dog, and then she comes here, and then I've traveled a couple of times for work this year, but I've never actually been to our apartment, and that's pretty cool.
Speaking of work, by the way,
do we have to talk about that? Yeah, right.
We don't talk about work here. We talk about remote leadership.
There it is.
So, I mean, you work with a lot of companies, right?
Yeah.
So you've probably seen a lot of stuff happening over the past year and a half, and all the years before, and then the change that came with the external changes in the world. Mm-hmm. You know. Out of what you have observed with the people you've worked with, what is what were things that companies were struggling with and solved in terms of remote leadership and how to deal with that, that could be useful for people listening in now who might still be in the situation and want to get out of that? So what can you share from what you have observed with your clients?
Well, and you're right. I've had the honor of being able to see inside a lot of different companies, and that's been going on for years, which is pretty cool. The biggest thing that I think that I can say is that less communication never solved an issue.
That was negative language, so turn it around for me, please.
Right? the reality is that we've got to talk. We've got to communicate. Right. We've got to communicate more. And it's very easy to jump onto a Zoom call, or, you know, Slack has that already integrated into it and stuff. And, you know, here we are messaging back and forth like 100 times, and I just hit the video chat button and be like, all right, let's talk about this for 3.5 minutes, and it's going to save us a whole bunch of chats back and forth. Let's just get on a video call and talk about this real quick. And I think building that connection between us, between the team members is key to do that. And it's something that I think that's the commodity these days that it's replacing all the perks that we used to have at the office, because all of a sudden I'm not worried about 12 different types of coffee in the break room. I'm not worried about, oh, does this office have napping pods or a beer pong table or any of that sort of stuff? Like, that doesn't scream culture. And that was a nice thing to have. And that probably helped to create that culture. But the reality is today it's about the humans that are on the other end and who I'm working with and where I choose to spend my time and what the purpose of that is. And, you know, I've really enjoyed being able to hang out with my senior dog all the time and have him around. And he's looking at me right now, like, what are you doing? Why are you up so early? What's going on? You know, like, what's the, what, And that's, I think that that's the new form of, these are the perks that we can enjoy by having a remote environment or a mainly remote environment.
Yeah, culture being a key word I heard in there multiple times.
Yeah.
What can I do to create a culture in the company or evolve the culture that is there or was there to continue succeeding in a remote world? What are key elements that where the culture needs to evolve and be prepared and ready and empower the different ways of working today?
I really think the communication and connection are the two biggest keys to that, right? So we're continuing to talk, continuing to have the conversations, and even before pandemic with the dance studio team, like, we had Zoom meetings so that we could tie everybody in. I wasn't trying to call somebody in at a time that they weren't, you know, scheduled to teach or things like that. We can record the session so at the very least people can watch it and, you know, are they really watching it? I don't know. But I'd throw a code word in at the end of all my Zoom calls and say, you know, okay, I just make sure that you are watching today. If you're watching the recording, I need everybody to, put a picture of a koala in Slack. And all of a sudden, you know, I get a bunch of pictures of koala bears, like, you know, in the Slack. And I'm like, oh, cool. At least somebody, you know, made it to the end of that meeting or something like that. Hopefully it was on, you know, double time instead of just single time. So they were able to, you know, and they're probably, you know, doing some other housework in the middle of all that sort of stuff, but making sure that I'm still getting the message across, that we're still talking, that there's still, like, just even more communication than maybe ever before, because there's a lot more access in Slack and you know, Teams and all that sort of stuff, whatever the platform is. The idea is that we're communicating more and still hearing the same messages from that leadership. Okay, here's where we're going. Here's what we want to do. And here's our normal sort of schedule, our frequency of having those check-ins, of having those meetings, of talking to those things. And they can be shorter because we can be more efficient with our time. And that's been another good benefit of having the virtual environment. When I'm working with customers, I'm like, let's go do a breakout room, and it's going to close in 7 minutes, not 7 minutes, you know, from the time you go walk to the washroom and then grab a cup of coffee and then show up in the breakout room to, you know, now talk, and you've checked your phone and got your head out of the space. I'm like, no, go to a breakout room for 7 minutes and then come back. And then that's it. You know, like, we can really make these things be more efficient.
Yeah.
The more we do with that.
Yeah. Thank you.
So that all sounds fantastic. So yeah. you all have the workarounds to stuff. So where is the real struggle? Is there a struggle, or do you think there is something where you just can't lead remotely, or is there any, don't know the word, something hidden we don't know?
I mean, for me personally, yes, there is something. It is missing. It is lacking. Is that this is going to be no different. At some point, we're going to end this call and we're going to hit end. Thanks so much. Nice to be here with you. Thank you. Hit end. And I'm just going to be like looking around like, what do I do now? Where'd my friends go? And I'm missing kind of that camaraderie that used to be the, all right, what do you guys want to go grab a burger later? You know, that is it. And so I've had to replace that myself with other friends, with other things that aren't necessarily work, taking the dog outside, seeing what the neighbors are doing. Right. And, thankfully at this place in the Bahamas, like, I've got some great neighbors and some great friends. It is a small island. So it's hard not to hang out and to see people on a daily basis. I didn't realize that I liked small town living as much as I do, and seeing the neighbors. And, you know, we went over to somebody else's house last night, and it was new, and, you know, different people that I got to connect with. And so I think that's the hard part for me, is that when I hit the end button for that meeting, it's over. Mm-hmm. And so I'm missing.
Oh, no. Time.
Yeah, I know.
Not yet. Wait.
Right. Wait. Not yet. I'm not pushing the red button yet. Right. But the time around the water cooler, if you will, that we used to just kind of like hang out and talk a little bit and to build that connection with each other. And how are your kids doing? Oh, cool. They got a, you know, they scored a goal in soccer. Or there's, you know, right. Or, oh, that's neat that you got a new car. Yeah, let's go take a look at it. You know, I'd love to see it. Those are the things that I feel like either I have to be more intentional or I've got to replace that. I'm definitely a people person. You probably gathered that from me. Right. And so I want people around at all times. Mm-hmm. And so that's hard when I can just end a meeting and then walk away. So the other hard thing for me has been sort of my time management, because for the longest time, I'm like, okay, cool. I got to go to the next city and I'm in the back of an Uber and I'm like, what were the 100 emails that I got in today? All right, let me triage those and figure out which ones I have to respond to in the next 15 minutes while I'm driving to the airport. And then I know I've got a half an hour when I'm at the airport. And then I've got to, so I better make those couple of calls that are, you know, and I've got to be quick on those calls because I need to get to the next one. And then I'm on the airplane and I've got, you know, 90 minutes of unaltered work time that I can just sort of clear my inbox. And when I land, 60 emails are going out and like, it's a lot. A bunch of Slack messages and things like that too. My team was always like, oh, you must have got off the airplane. It's got 112 Slack messages and 60 emails that all came into my inbox at once. Right. So like that's tough. But then like by the time I got to the next hotel, I'm like, okay, cool. Let's relax for the night. I got everything accomplished that I need to, or I still got to make those calls tomorrow, but at least I've got, you know, everything kind of in place. And I used that structure to become freedom so that I had that in place and ready to go. And now again, when I log off, I'm like, what should I do? I've got the whole rest of the day, or I've got all these other things that I can go and do. And so it's been hard for me to prioritize. All right, well, no, like sit down, work on email for 30 minutes and then go do something else, or then move on to a next project or something. So it's been hard because I don't have kind of those artificial deadlines kind of, you know, to keep me on task.
Hey, before we get to that red button eventually,
listen, I'll talk all day. You said, well, yeah, cool.
I love it. Well, you know, you're here with friends, and so you know, don't go.
Right.
don't go into that loneliness on the Bahamas and the sunshine and the beach and all of that.
Yeah.
No, hey, I got one question that I have, and I start with a compliment, which is you have wonderful, beautiful, light blue eyes.
Thanks. I like them.
And obviously, you know, the setting that you have is very well lit. So I assume there's technology where you making sure, because it looks like you're in a TV studio, the way it's lit. So professionally done. The question that I have, it's probably a technical question. How do you do it? And this is something I will remember out of our conversation, because with you, I constantly have the feeling that you're looking straight into my eyes and I want to know how you do it.
Yeah.
So where is the camera that you do that? I presume you're still somewhere looking at me.
Right.
So what's the trick, Lee?
Technology has really helped in this. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I said to my wife, hey, I'm going to need a new desk. And she's like, listen, how long is this going to go? Like, you've got a desk in your office at home. You've never used the office at home. Like, why are, like, let's, and I said, I think we're going to be here for a minute anyway. We better invest in some technology. I got a stand-up desk, so I'm able to stand up and sit down, which I really enjoy. I got a great camera. It's a 4K camera, and the key to that is a very good lens on it. So I've got a great lens, which allows it to be the
sort of... Is the camera close to you, or is it from afar on Zoom?
It's pretty close to me. It's would that be? About 4 feet away, just the focus depth, you know? So it's an arm reach away.
So I've got a good Instagram angle. I have all that, but I'm still not looking straight into your eyes, I think.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
What's missing?
I've got a teleprompter too, so that way I can look at the camera, but that's where your picture is. And I've been very conscious to stare into the lens of this camera for a year and a half.
Yeah. So
my relationship is with my camera lens.
So you have a teleprompter in front where you see our image. Yes. Okay. That explains
that
it.
That way
okay.
I can see it. Right. Yeah. I've got the good lighting. I've got the external microphone. I got a video mixer board. I can go to different things, draw on my whiteboard, using my my iPad and my Apple Pencil, and right, like, so that's I can draw in it. I can make myself go picture in picture. So as the client, right, like I'm really harnessing technology. And I hope that that doesn't detract from anything that we're doing. I want it to be so seamless that it's you don't even realize it. I've got external controls, and I'm a big fan of these big buttons. So I use an Elgato Stream Deck. Hopefully they'll send me more product because of that. I've got a video mixer board that's external, made by Blackmagic Design. That's all external. I can change my camera views. I can do all that sort of stuff. And hopefully that's a seamless thing for you. And it feels as natural as in if we were in the room together and I don't have to break that eye contact in order for that to happen. Right. So, you know, if I'm running my PowerPoint, I run it off that Stream Deck and I can change what slides up.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah, cool. Thank you for sharing that. So teleprompter is the solution. I'll get mine out of the bag.
Regardless, if not, just stare into the camera lens, right? Like, so I know that, you know, you're also on my screen that's a little bit lower than my camera too. But that's, you know, it's that relationship with the camera lens.
Awesome. Thanks. The second question that I have is, so I got to tell you where that question is coming from. So Christian and I do a lot of workshops, and we do a lot of workshops about purpose, vision, values, strategies, and all of that. And purpose, of course, being at the core of everything.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I love the book. And you mentioned earlier, you work with Simon Sinek, right? And and he obviously wrote the famous book "Always Start with Why."
Right.
And so we have been having this thing where in our workshops we talk about, well, we would love to meet Simon one day and tell him that we have one minor suggestion for modification, and that is that to call the book or the whole thing start with wherefore. So if you could pass on the message, please, that'd be awesome.
Tell me more about that. What does that mean? What's the...
Well, it comes from, you know, so we do these things in German. Mm-hmm. And we're quite lucky in the German, I think. In that sense, we're lucky for a change. We, you know, otherwise, I really love the English language, especially for business and for all the leadership catalog and curriculum. And in the German language, we are fortunate that we have two words for why. We have a word that is wofür, which I have learned there is an old English word called wherefore. So it's for what purpose. It literally means for what purpose do we do this? And we have the word warum, which is probably the closer translation to why, because it asks, why is it the way it is? Mm-hmm. So to me, the conclusion has been in German that why is a bit more backwards looking, while wherefore is forwards looking, more in the coaching mindset, projecting forward, where is this taking us? So, yeah, that's something that I've been wanting to pass on as a message. So not sure where we take it from here.
Yeah.
I've been dying.
Well, I've, you know, it's been the his books have been translated into many different languages. So, you know, maybe that's the better translation. And who knows? But that's
So we did this here. You know, so we crossed out the why and put the word wherefore next to it.
Perfect. Good.
Is that an English word? I mean, does anybody ever say wherefore except for lawyers? I heard.
Lawyers. That's very lawyer speak, for, you know, I don't think I've ever said that word in my life.
Yeah.
Unless I was trying to pontificate and feel very big around my
pontificate. Word. I remember that word. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a typical coach does all the time, right?
That is not me. Very much the, what you see is what you get. And one time I was about to work a session with a corporate client, and they said, could you send us a different headshot? And I said, why? And they said, because, you know, like you kind of got to, like, your look, and it was a really tough conversation. I could tell, you know, they're like, but your look is a little, it's different. And you know, you kind of got like spiky hair, and you're, you know, you're, like, I think you're wearing like a t-shirt.
Oh, they needed something less you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, you still realize that you get me in the room, right? Like that's not changing. Like, do you need me to comb my hair a different way to do this session? And they said, well, maybe it might be helpful. And I said, I don't think I'm the right person for this job.
Yeah.
So
Maybe yeah, someone else with different hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Or less hair.
Right.
So talking about the wherefore and the why. So this podcast is about remote leadership. And Lee, if we could arrange for all the leaders in the world to listen to the next few words and sentences you say, what would you love to make sure all of them could hear?
Oh my gosh, no pressure, right? Like that's,
it's just saving the world. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just solve the world. It'll be good. It can be done in one sentence, of course. I hope that people walk away from this feeling that the sort of the inspiration, the love and greatness that's included in each and every one of us and help each other kind of get to an even better spot together. We can achieve so much more than we can solo. So where are the places that we can help each other do some more better things, whatever that looks like? And that's such a loose term sort of thing. But I think that collaboration is key for all of us. So how can we collaborate together and do something that's awesome and create some cool art in the process?
Ah, art. I'll remember that. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Thank you very much, Lee. Thank you very much for joining us early in the morning.
Thanks for having me here. Amazing.
Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day, Lee.
Thanks. You as well.
Thank you. Bye.
Das war Remote Leadership, ein Podcast der CoR Academy mit Michael Porz und Christian Kohlhof. Unser Programm und weitere Informationen findest du unter coR.academy.